Believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. Experiencing the supernatural, right? Our goal here at Serenity Church is not to limit ourselves to the natural and miss the supernatural experiences, but I also need my lovely assistants to please pass out the bulletins, Bibles, and pens. I do have some things that I would like for you to write down, things for you to take home. For some particular reason, I am a little bit more nervous than I usually am. I don't know what it is. Because I procrastinated. Like, life has really given me ample opportunity with a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old at home who desperately need my attention. Everything happens for a reason. What a coincidence. So what I want to challenge you tonight is to stop blocking your miracle. Right? Stop blocking your miracle. We may be holding on to this one thing, whether it is a resentment or fear or that gosh darn fourth step that we just really don't want to do, but our sponsor's been down our throat to complete it, but it's taken so long because we procrastinate and getting things done. Or we are taking matters in our own hands to resolve a conflict that has arose in our life. I want to suggest that some of us here tonight, or may we know somebody that we care about who have not received the miracle that we've received, or seen God come through for us because we are holding God up. Not with a gun or anything like that, and he's got his hands up, but we are just in the way. We are in God's way. In a sense, causing him to delay or denying his supernatural presence into our situation and into our circumstance. So there's these natural laws that we all live by, right? That we all see every single day. And then there's the supernatural ability. You know, we have a lot of references like Ephesians 6. You know, it is... Our battles are of the spiritual nature, not of the natural nature. Here on earth, we are the ambassadors on earth, but we have physical and scientific limitations. But there's gravity, what goes up must come down, the laws of physics, all these things have natural laws. But there's the supernatural laws, right? There are supernatural laws. And those supernatural laws is controlled by God. God has the ability to overrule the laws that he created to accomplish something. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you enter the realm of the supernatural. When we pray spiritually in the spiritual realm, right? Chris has been doing a book study of spiritual warfare, and that really emphasizes Ephesians 6 and a lot of other great scriptures that she's helping people understand that our problems are not really of this natural world, but of the supernatural world. So, I want to get to your first fill in the blank. The problem is that we are so tied up to the natural, we often miss, resist, or deny the supernatural. That's your first fill in the blank. Miss, resist, or deny the supernatural. The story I want to tell you tonight, you probably have heard before in many different ways, but I want to maybe bring a little bit of a twist to it. I'm sure everybody, I hope everybody, maybe not, this may be a new name for you, but the story of Lazarus. The death of Lazarus. That'll be in John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus was now laid sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So there's another reference point. So Jesus knew Mary very well. Jesus knew Martha, her sister, and Jesus knew Lazarus. He loved them. He cared for them. They were almost as close to him as the disciples were. And when he fell ill, Martha and Mary reached out to Jesus. Please come. Lazarus is sick. He's dying. We need a miracle. We need your help. But what did Jesus do? He didn't leave right away. He waited 2 days before he made the journey back to them to be there with them in the time of passing. So when Jesus arrived, of course, Martha and Mary, Martha was kind of like the loudmouth, the one that always has to speak up. Kind of reminds me of Teresa. Always has an opinion, right? Just don't ask for the honest one. So when Jesus finally arrived, they rushed out to him, and they were upset. They were upset with him. What took you so long? Why didn't you come when we asked you to come? You could have been here to save him, because they knew he could save him. He didn't have to die. He knew, they knew he could save them, or save Lazarus. And it was very upsetting for Jesus to hear this. But if the truth be told, many here today have been disappointed by the Lord. The Lord didn't do what you clearly understood he said he would do. When you thought he was going to be in a hurry, he took his time. When you thought he answered your prayer, the answer turned out to be the complete opposite. In fact, if truth be told, some of us believe God actually made things worse by his negligence and by his delay or even his denial. In John 11:38, it reads, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. So he went to the tomb of Lazarus, as we all do in the grieving time we go and we show up. He went to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance, kind of reminds us of Jesus' tomb, a big stone laid across in front of the cave. Jesus was deeply moved by the event of the loss of Lazarus. In the shortest verse of the whole entire Bible, just previously in verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. So you can see that this man, the Son of God, has emotions. He cried for the loss of his friend and was in tears, emotionally hurt for the pain and suffering of Martha and Mary losing their brother. Jesus sympathizes with our emotions. In Hebrews 4, it says, he would never let his emotions determine what he did, though. He knew that Jesus knew that his emotions cannot get in the way of making any sort of irrational decision or any decision by that nature if it wasn't in God's will. God's truth had to override the situation. All right? Verse 39, it continues. Take away the stone, Jesus said. Take away the stone. So your next fill in the blank. It says, we must take action to reveal the miracle. Amen. We must take action to reveal the miracle. Verse 40, it goes into, Martha said, but Jesus, he's been dead for 4 days. He's going to start to stink. He's going to smell. Why would you want to move away the stone and do that? Why? He's gone. He's gone, Jesus. The sister of the dead man, by this time, the bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. She did what most of us do when Jesus issues a command we neither like or understand. She enters the conversation with human logic, right? Of course, he's been dead. He's going to smell. He's going to start decaying. It's human logic. Everything she said was correct. Jesus heard her do what he hears us do when we either do not like or do not understand his instructions. We argue back. I have a 9-year-old. He likes to argue back with me. Why? 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 Because I said so. But why do you say so? Because I said so. When we argue back to Jesus or to the Lord with human logic that may be absolutely correct, he says, yeah, you're correct. Yes, he's dead. He's going to stink. It's been dead for 4 days. I know this. Move the stone. Jesus responds, saying, did I not tell you? That pitch, right? That tone of voice that Jesus probably had at that very moment. Did I not tell you? Like a sigh of like, or sound of disappointment, like anger, like quit arguing with me and just do what I ask you to do. Because nothing will block the supernatural movement of God in your life like your own logic. Your edumacation. Some of us have educated ourselves out of the supernatural. We are too smart for God. We know what's best. So we live with our logic, and so we live only in the natural with our logic. That can't be true. That can't be done. That doesn't make sense. It's scientifically not possible. So when we live by that logic, we are getting in God's way. We are in God's way. He continues, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? There it is right there. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. He did not say if you will believe. I mean, if you will see once you believe, like, no, tongue-tied myself. He did not say, when you see, you will believe. In the natural, you will see before you believe. Not so in the supernatural. In the supernatural, if you believe, you would see what you see, the glory of God. Well, what is the glory of God? The glory of God is God on display. Amen. Yeah. He is revealing himself as God in our circumstance. When he advertises himself, he puts himself or his attributes on a billboard so you can see God at work. Nothing but a miracle can explain that. But you will not see in the physical until you believe it in the spiritual. We are blocking our miracles with the human logic, even if it is correct. God will overrule what is natural to provide a miracle. And I see so many miracles here tonight of what God has done for each and every single one of us, what we cannot do for ourselves. And it is by working the steps. It is by experiencing hardship and being maybe even overwhelmed by them. But with the help of a sponsor and with these steps, we begin to believe. And when we begin to believe, we begin to see the promises that God has made for each and every single one of us, having peace. The whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. It's my favorite. Because I definitely did not believe in the beginning. I doubted the supernatural ability of God, because how could God do for me what I never saw in anybody else, or never saw for anybody else? All I saw was pain and turmoil. And the things that I've experienced in my life, I didn't see God at any part of that. How could God allow such pain and misery and hardship? Why? Why, God? So I stopped believing. And once I started believing again and working the steps and moving that stone, I began receiving the promises and the miracle. In Matthew 13, it says, when Jesus, he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. So if you want to see the miracles, we all need to believe. If you don't believe, you won't receive the miracles. So we'll be limited to the natural when we do not move the stone, whatever it is that is in your life. Last time that I was up here, I was talking about slaying your dragon. That was based on a children's book. This is kind of like the biblical version of it, in a sense. The stones in our life that we cannot move. When we do not act on what God has said, whether we understand it, can figure it out, like it or not, that is what often happens to Christians, limiting us to the natural because we can't figure out God's intentions. We start playing God, right? We start thinking, well, if I can do this, this will all work out in the way that I need it to. But if it's not in God's will, of course it ain't going to work out. We're going to have consequences. We're going to have more problems. It's going to just domino effect to more situations that we do not like. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Because God will wait until you decide to believe. You can throw as many facts at him as you want. You can argue with him. You can yell at him. You can do many things. Grunt and moan. Be mad. Be resentful. But until you decide to move that stone away, God will not act. Even, of course, if you start throwing scientific facts at him, like you know more biology than the man who created the whole entire universe. Like you know what is meant to be, how everything works. You're going to argue with God? Job did that. Didn't really work out well for him, did it? Until he rolled away his stone. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the will of God. Not as God's will, but the will of God. There's the revealed will, right? That is here, right here in this book. The revealed will. And then there's the secret will. That's what he has said in the Bible and has that, you know, in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever that we may follow all the words of this law. You cannot get to God's secret will if you have ignored his revealed will. If he says to move the stone, but you have to see what he is going to do before you move the stone, you will never see what he is going to do. You put in the cart before the horse, right? God, I'll do it, but I want to see the result before I actually put in the effort, put in the work. It doesn't work that way. Because he will keep secret, his secret, until he sees you believe his revealed will. I put it in the action and believing. If you do not do what you know he said, he won't show you what he's up to in the supernatural realm. You know, good luck trying to figure out God's will. It's like a big major headache. And because in Isaiah 55, it reads, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So it clearly says, no matter what you believe, no matter your imagination of what potentially would happen, I can always outthink you. I can always outdo you, no matter what you believe. Because you can't think of the things that I can do. The miracles that can actually take place. Cancer disappear. Families reunited. big miracle right there in the back. Last week he was up here sharing his testimony of all the miracles that have occurred in his life. Amen. And John, for 32 years, receiving the miracle, and his grandchildren sitting there right here beside him. It's an amazing miracle to see. He believed it would happen. He believed it before he even sought it. That's an amazing miracle. So John 11:41, as we continue on, it reads, "So they took away the stone." So Jesus gathered up some people because Martha and Mary alone could not roll away the stone. It was too big. So they removed the stone for them. All right? There were people brought to help her move something that she could not move herself. Sounds familiar? If you cannot wish or will away something in your life, you belong. You're a serenitarian. You're an overcomer, right? Amen. Something in your life that is blocking you from God's secret will. Find a sponsor or join our overcomers group. Tonight is birthday night. We have many celebrants here tonight that have received the miracle of what God did for them, what they could not do alone. Because God won't move until the stone is moved. So if you cannot move your stone, get some help. Ask for help. Ask one of us. We will be there to help you move that stone. Everyone in here should be either being or should be either getting help to move a stone or be helping somebody else move their stone. That is what church is supposed to be. Working together. Working together. Hebrews 7:25 says that Jesus is our intercessor. It's a fancy word for mediator. I know a lot about mediators. Hopefully y'all noticed that. But it's the middleman, right? An attorney, let's put it that way. Jesus is the attorney. Romans 8:27 says, "The Holy Spirit is our intercessor according to the will of God." So, it has to be God's will, of course. When we pray, if it's God's will, and we believe, it will happen. He won't do everything we want because we want it. I want $1 million. I've prayed many times for $1 million, and I haven't received it yet. There's a lot of things that we want, but God is not a cosmic vending machine. We can't just send in a prayer and hit A7 and get something in return. But there are a lot of things in God's will that he is wanting to do after he has seen faith in action. He has to see that faith in action. 41 continues on. It says, "Then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Thank you, for you have heard me.'" So whatever Jesus is going to talk about, he has already discussed with God. In verse 4, if we go back, when Jesus first heard about the news of Lazarus, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Amen. So he's already had a conversation with God, his Father, about the whole entire situation. "God, I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen. I'm probably not going to make it, but what I need to do is I need to take some time in prayer, have a conversation with you first about my intention and what I want to do. But if it's your will, God, you will be glorified. You will be glorified." "I knew that you always hear me, Lord, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." So he had this premeditated miracle planned out so that the people who were living in the natural logic would see something so unbelievable, a miracle, that they would then start believing in him, believing in Jesus. So when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." That's all he had to say. He didn't say, "Get up and walk," because then the whole entire graveyard would have all got up and walked. It's like Night of the Living Dead, all over again. No. But in his meeting, when they knew, when they would see faith, then they would perform the miracle. They would not do anything until they saw the faith. We won't see the spiritual until the bridge of faith is connected. My intercessor, my Jesus, when then becomes you bringing to pass what has already been agreed on. So anything that I pray to the Lord, and the Lord will then, of course, I talk to God, I talk to Jesus, the mediator. He will then, if it's agreed upon in the supernatural realm, once I show faith, then I should receive. That our supernatural, that your supernatural miracle, whatever is in God's will to do, has already been agreed upon in the spiritual realm. That means you don't have to beg God to do something that is already in his will to do. He is not waiting on God if he has already agreed to it, right? He's not waiting on him. He's waiting on you to do the work. He's waiting on you to do the work. It's called the intercession of the Son and the Holy Spirit, bringing into the physical realm what he has previously been agreed on in the spiritual realm once faith has been exercised, even if it has to overrule common logic. This is the great example of the negotiator, that mediator, like I said, Jesus' authority to work for us in the spiritual realm to truly show us what God can do in the natural realm. Verse 42, it continues on. Like I said, I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me, Father. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. He got up and walked. Well, he didn't really walk. He kind of had to shuffle because, you know what I mean, he's all wrapped up. God doesn't just want to do miracles to exclude you. He wants to include you. And I say that because there's your part in the miracle. Each of us have a part to participate in God's miracle. Amen. He said to the people that helped them, "Move the stone, take off the grave clothes, and let him go. Finish my work." In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, 'In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you.' I tell you now, is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." He did enough to get it going. Then we have to finish the work. Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to others and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. So I urge people here tonight, may have some circumstances in their life, some stones that may be too large for just you to handle, or too large that you think God is not able to handle. Ask for help. Amen. Ask for help. It later says, In the next chapter, chapter 12, it says, many believed in him. I would believe too whenever I see somebody who was dead and dead for 4 days get up and walk because of what one man said. Lazarus, come out. God doesn't do miracles to sit there and just flex his muscles, right? Like Pete does. He does the supernatural so his name will be known. Many believed in him. That's what a problem I see in so many people looking at, come to church looking for the blessing. It's my blessing. It's my blessing. Look what I received. Look what God did for me. It's a selfish intention, right? Not giving it back to him, not giving God the actual glory for the miracle that they received. So if you want that stone removed without doing any of the work, keep on waiting, because it ain't going to move itself. Serenitarians are not shy about who it was that did the supernatural in their other lives as a result of these steps, because we had the help of each other to move away the stones in our lives. He didn't bless you for you. He blesses you for his name and his glory. Your impact, your testimony, your ministry. So when you open your mouth, we need to declare, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. The greatness of your God causes only your God can do. I completely just chicken scratched this. I am so sorry. The greatness of your God can only do what your God can do. So only your God can go into your grave and raise you up and give you life so he can be glorified. Amen. And all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much.